Hello, everyone. I'm Carrie.
And I'm Kristen.
And we're bringing you our weekly podcast called Girlfriend's Guide to Blending Families. Kristen and I met a few years ago through a mom's club in our town, but our friendship really took off when we started sharing the heartaches and successes we both experienced in raising our children in blended families.
We hope to share insights, stories, and a few laughs with you on this crazy and rewarding journey of parenting. So grab your glass of wine, and if something we share resonates with you, let us know. We would love to hear from you.
Cheers.
Cheers. Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 7 of Girlfriend's Guide to Blending Families. Hey, Kristen.
Hello, Miss Lady. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good.
So tonight we decided to talk about blending as a couple and the challenges in your marriage when it's your second marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So you and I are both married 2 times and have some dynamics with exes and current husbands and children with both. And as we both know, I think it's very challenging. So what were your thoughts on, you know, the difference in your first marriage versus your second marriage?
Yeah. So I started thinking about this in probably the last week or two, but it's been really, you know, significant in the last week. So we just sold our house. We moved out of the house that we were in, my second husband and I, and so when you go through that process, as anybody knows that said had to move, you know, you're going through the dreaded crap in the attic and in the garage and all the things that you brought from your life previously to, you know, your life now. And now you're moving to a different location. And it was just hysterical to me. Some of the stuff that I have accumulated, you know, from my first marriage and even before that. So, you know, just going through like so much stuff, like tennis rackets and bowling balls and ski equipment and surfboards. And then we were in like a golf phase. And then prior to my first husband, my fiance before that, I had like a scuba diving phase. And I was just thinking, A, why do I have so much sporting equipment? And B, like an excessive amount of sporting equipment. And B, when would I ever have the time to do any of these activities again? So no. I'm thinking like, oh, how young and idealistic I was at that time of, you know, that I would have this lifetime of all of these things. And I was just thinking like in my second marriage, there's nothing like that. There's just baby stuff, just tons and tons of baby stuff. So I was just thinking about how you are in your first marriage. And for me, you know, we were together for several years before we had my daughter, and just what the, and having a child, you know, that you bring into that marriage versus a second marriage where, you know, you're both coming in my situation, you're both coming in with kids, and, you know, just how different that is. So I just thought it would be interesting to talk about, you know, I think sometimes we're to like, where we are now, kind of looking back and looking forward and just kind of understanding why it is we might have those struggles at times, why it is that, you know, things seem so difficult when you're blending a family because it is so different than your first marriage. So I think that's just where I kind of wanted to start, was like acknowledging, you know, in your first marriage, what that was like. Like for me, you know, we had tons of time for family, friends, activities, you know,
all those sports,
all of those sports, which were great in the 1 to 2 times that I did them each. But, you know, even I think just thinking about like financially, you know, you have a lot of time to think about, like, how do you manage when you're going on vacation? What does that look like? How you're managing debt? Are you accruing debt? Are you paying things off? Like people's spending habits. And then when you have a baby, it's just, you have so much time to prep. You have so much time to think about, like, how are we going to afford this? What are our parenting styles? And that's, I guess, where it kind of like brings me to blending families. So, you know, in your first marriage, your first relationship, about, I remember thinking, you know, you have the conversation, yeah, we're never going to let our kid watch TV. Yeah. And my ex-husband was like, we should definitely send her to boarding school because, which I clearly nixed, you know, that's what's going to be best for her. And you have like all these outlandish ideas about what you're going to do as a parent. And then the baby comes along. And of course, they all like fall to the wayside, but you have so much time to think about it, you know?
Yeah. And I think going just from baby one to baby two, take out like first, second, third marriages, ex-husbands and new husbands. I mean, just the difference between baby one and baby two, I think you can say the exact same thing. Because you don't have time to like plan and do all that stuff with your second one. You know what I mean? You're just kind of on the fly, and any subsequent children after that, it's just kind of like a free for all, kind of like make it through the day.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Which is why, yeah, the second kid, you know, is born with like an iPad in their hands and, you know, like they can fend for themselves for college. They better be good at sports. They're stuck. So yeah, that is a very good point. So I was thinking, you know, when I went into my second marriage, my daughter was really little, you know, we didn't have my second daughter yet. And just, you know, trying to think about like what that all is like. I mean, how can it not be stressful, first of all, when you already have kids and you're trying to have a relationship, you know, like you automatically don't have that time for yourself. You automatically don't have, you know, like, oh, let's just have long weekends away. And, you know, now we're going to get into this activity or we're going to hang out with these friends. It's so different on the relationship. And I think that's just worth noting. You know, I don't know what your experience was, but, or is, but, you know, what kind of difference that is on your relationship as a couple when you're trying to blend your family.
What do you think? I mean, I feel like our stories are pretty similar in this. Like, I remember feeling the exact same way as a couple of things you just said, but what about when you started dating your second husband? Mm-hmm. Like, what was the conversation like? What were the dates like? And how were they different from when you were dating, you know, pre-kids?
Yeah, I think you just look for totally different things. You know, you really look for somebody who's going to be a good father. You know, that's just like probably the primary thing. You know, this person is going to be around my kid. And my kid is what is most important in my life. So, you know, are you a pretty selfless person? Are you the person, you know, that's going to go to CVS at, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning and get me what I need for, you know, my kid when she's sick? Are you going to be, you know, supportive of me? I think because when you know, have that like breakup of your first relationship and then you move forward, there is a period of time where you are, you know, pretty independent. You have to manage everything yourself. So I think that's what was really important to me, was that, you know, somebody that could support I'm a very independent person. I'm not really dependent at all, and maybe to a fault. So, you know, that's somebody that could support me in that was really important. How about for you?
I completely agree. Like, somebody to actually be the partner, like the other half, the 50% or, you know, or more when you need it, pick up your slack when you can't. Like, I don't remember like thinking about it when I was dating after my divorce, but I don't think I would have even considered somebody that didn't have children, which is weird. Cause obviously when you're dating pre-kids, you're not like thinking, you're actually thinking the opposite way. But I think once you have kids, to try to date somebody that does not, I don't know, in my opinion, like, I just felt like that was not a choice, unless they were like really, really good with kids and really wanted kids. But it's just different. Like, going in and blending families is hard enough. I felt like, I don't know, and maybe I'm full of it, but I just felt like the other person would understand, my spouse would understand better if they were already a parent themselves.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's just, there's just sort of an innate quality or a set of characteristics that you have as a parent. And, you know, maybe some people can tend that way or trend that way. But if you know somebody and you can watch someone with their own kid, if you know that they're a good father, that's just, you know, something you don't even have to, like, it's just, okay, check that box. They got it. You know, okay, what's the next thing? So,
right.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think it just kind of happens like unconsciously at some point.
It does. And I think, funny story, when the first date I went on with my husband, we talked about kids. Like, one of those things you're not supposed to talk about on your first date. But listen, you know, I had a kid, he had three kids. We were not spring chickens anymore. Mm-hmm. And that was important. Like, he wanted to know, did I want more kids? And I wanted to know if he did, because I only had one at that point. And I did want more.
Right.
So it was not really like your typical first date conversation, but we had it and we were kind of both in the same spot and good to go right from the get-go. I mean, we dated briefly. Mm-hmm. And I mean, kind of, it was like not quite love at first sight, but pretty darn close. Mm-hmm. And, you know, happily ever after, there you go. But
yeah,
it was, I just remember that striking me. Like, I can't believe we're talking about this on our first date.
Yeah. And I think when you have kids, you have to kind of cut to the chase with that. You know, you have to say, like, you know, we don't have, maybe some people do, the luxury of, you know, dating for 6 or 9 or 12 months or 2 years, whatever it is, before we get to this conversation. But, you know, I really need to know this. Otherwise, it's not, you know, worth getting a babysitter over or not seeing my kids, because, right, you know, we're just, right, like, you know, not on the same page. So now, how about for you guys, you know, so when you're in your second marriage and just starting out, you know, the blending of the family, I think there are just, as in reference to when it's just in your first marriage, you know, you're just sort of fresh into it. You're both fresh. It's both a new experience for both of you. I think some of the things that can happen that make it complicated in the second marriage is, you know, the remnants of the first marriage, you know, the remnants of the other parent, you know, how people parent differently, you know. And I think you and I have talked a lot about, you know, offline about our parenting styles and the things that are important to us, that we're pretty strict about things. And we really, you know, hold our kids to that. Some things we let go, but other things are really important. And so, you know, when you see in your stepchildren the things that are already in place, like they're already in motion, how they are interacting with other people, how they are. And sometimes it's just personality too. You know, with your own two kids, they are raised and have the same DNA, but they are vastly different, you know, personality wise. So I think that's something that's a little challenging is, you know, now you have this child and they've been parented by somebody else and their DNA is different than yours. And now it's like, okay, so how's this all working out?
Yeah, I think that's something we're definitely experiencing. I mean, my husband was a parent already for like 14 years when I met him, and I had been a parent for 10 months. So while my ex and I kind of like talked it out, like you said, you had plenty of time to plan and discuss all of these parenting styles. When you get married the second time, we talk about it, but you're not going to necessarily change what's been going on for however many years prior before you.
Mm-hmm.
So now with the blending, it's definitely an interesting dynamic and challenge to blend not only your families, but your parenting styles, because, you know, whether one person, you've both been parents for the same amount of time or one's been longer, and just the male female difference, there's a lot of issues. Like, for example, you know, there might be like a, let's say, a disrespect issue amongst one of my stepdaughters, and either directed to me or directed to somebody else. And I might react to it a certain way, but I really have to bite my tongue because it's not my place to parent in that situation.
Right.
And for us, like, I kind of, every child's different. So like my oldest was 14 when I met her. So never really needed to be like disciplinary and parent per se, more of like a confidant, friend, role model.
Mm-hmm.
But then the next one was only 11, so we've kind of grown up a little bit more together. And then the youngest was only 3, so with her, especially, like, I feel like, all right, it's been 7 years. She's 11 now. And I've been there through pretty much all of it other than her birth.
Right.
But I still sometimes have to take a step back and say, but I'm still not her mother.
Yeah. And
I still have to defer to my husband to be the parent.
Right. Right. And that is challenging. And I know, you know, that has to be a struggle, and that the book, you know, that you're reading seems to really speak to that about how do you negotiate that, you know, because you've been in her life for so long, but yet still, you know, there are other people involved and there are other dynamics. And so it does fall on, you know, your husband, and that is something for you guys as a couple that you're working out. And I think what's just really good to know is it's difficult, and it's difficult for everybody. And, you know, how could that situation not be difficult, you know, because of all the factors involved. So I think it's just really good, you know, you're sharing that. That's your experience. And I'm sure that's the experience of a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, I do definitely talk to, and especially since we've been doing the podcast, I tend to talk to more people that are doing kind of what we're doing mm-hmm. with the blending of families, because I'm more curious now about how do they do it and what's your experience. And it's definitely helpful. So I hope our podcast can help other people too, because it's helpful for me to talk and to like hear your opinion and other people's thoughts and how they're doing it. So I, you know, I'm sure everybody's story is a little bit different, but it's definitely good to get it out there and let people know that it's not, you know, all fairy tale. Like, it definitely is work.
Right.
Like, you know, most things are.
Yeah. And it's funny, because I had a friend that was talking to me the other day, and they brought up a story that I had actually forgotten about blending families. You know, when my second daughter was born, and, you know, my older daughter trying to like figure out the whole family situation. And I guess little Gwenny was, you know, she was little, so I was trying to cook and I'm holding Gwen, and my other daughter wants my attention, you know, and I said to my husband, you know, can you play with her? And, you know, his idea of playing was just like, let's make sure she's not killing herself, you know, like, let's make sure she's doing something that is, you know, constructive, not destructive. And in my mind, like, playing with her means like, no, you need to get down on the floor, you need to play with her. And just that having a different perspective, because that, you know, wasn't his kid, and maybe he didn't do that with his daughter, or that wasn't the expectation in the house that he came from, you know, just having to communicate about something very, to me, basic like that. And that was difficult, you know, and that was really early on in the relationship about, you know, my expectations and what he expected and how, you know, we try to grow from this.
And do you find yourself in that situation, like, always wondering, is it because it's not his biological child?
Yeah, I think in that moment, I just thought, you don't know what I expect. Like, I guess, you know, I assume that people, you know, that I'm with have the same exact values as me, or just approach. And I have come to learn that's definitely not true. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. But I automatically think that yes, we're on the same page. And so I think that that's a big point about blending families, is it's not automatic and it's not assumed, and it's not, you know, you're not always on the same page of something really simple like, can you play and what play means. So yeah, I guess I just was like, oh, huh, okay, well, let me like break it down a little bit more. So, and I think, you know, biologically speaking, you know, I think my daughter just at that moment wanted to be closer with me, but I couldn't do it. And so it was just an extra effort of, hey, can you take her and can you, you know, make this happen? So it was kind of a lot of things in that moment.
Yeah. I think we've experienced that too. And I always question it too. I'm like, okay, well, is it the male female difference in my expectations, or my feelings are just different male versus female? Or is it because that's your stepchild or my stepchild? Does that play into it? Or is it just because I'm reacting to another female differently than I would react to my male child. Mm-hmm. And like, you don't know the answer. You're just kind of always wondering, like, what is that reaction due to?
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I think that is what is so complicated about it, is there is no right answer. Because I think any of those questions, the answer could be, yes, it's probably that, or yes, it's probably that. And you just don't really know in the moment, you know?
Yep. I totally agree. So was there time, and I know I'm sure other people have experienced this, but in between marriages or in between relationships where you are parenting alone and, you know, you learn to obviously put your child first. So you're always taught and trained that when you get married, like, you and your spouse have to be first. And when you have children, like, you and your spouse have to be first to create this wholesome, like, strong family unit, that, you know, the husband and wife need to be strong first.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get divorced, that dynamic changes. Now you're putting your kid first.
Yeah.
So what was your experience in then transitioning that again into your next relationship?
Yeah, I totally agree with you in that. I'm sure as a therapist, I've said that to other people, but not live that at all. You know, like, yes, you should absolutely, you know, the parents come first and the foundation is from there. And I think that that really is a model based on families that stay together and don't split up, you know, because when you do have a separation and there's a break in, you know, the relationship, that you don't have a choice but to put your kid first, you know. And that's, I don't know if that's just good parenting or you're doing it out of guilt or whatever, but, you know, you just feel like, well, now there's somebody else coming in and I can't put my kid second. And I think that's what really complicates everything. So I don't think that I do a good job with that. And maybe when you meet other people that have, other, you know, they have kids as well, that they're maybe operating in the same structure that you are.
And I think that that goes, that this idea goes strongly with the statistics that show, you know, like 50% of first marriages fail and like 70% of second marriages fail. And I don't know the facts on this, but I'd be willing to bet that this is a huge cause of it, because it's so much harder to spend time focusing on your marriage when you're have, you know, even if it's just one child or two children, like, there's so many different dynamics and so many different feelings, and it's hard to put your relationship first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So I think that's definitely a huge reason for, you know, subsequent marriages not succeeding.
Yeah. And I think because there are so many things, and, you know, what I wanted to focus on at the end was, you know, there are a lot of blending pitfalls, clearly. And we've talked about them on the show. And what are we doing that's blending well? You know, like, I think you sent me something, was it today? And I don't know if you have it. I was just going to pull it up on my phone, but I thought it was just such an awesome quote. Which I will read. And you said, you found it. It said, not flesh of my flesh nor bone of my bone, but still miraculously my own. Never forget for a single minute you didn't grow under my heart, but in it. So, you know, yeah. I think that you're a person that really tries, you know, so hard every day to blend well. And that, you know, that's just a great quote. And so why did that strike you?
It was a rough weekend with some of my stepdaughters, and I just was feeling, like, it's tough sometimes, you know, like, sometimes my husband and I don't see eye to eye. Sometimes there's more issues than other times, but, you know, I love them all. I can't say it's the same. Like, it's just, I don't think anything can ever be totally the same, but I love them as much as I love my biological children. I feel, you know, super lucky to be able to have them in my life. And to be part of theirs. So it's, I don't know. I saw that and I think it struck me because, being a step-parent is tough, step-mom and step-dad, and it's not rewarding, just like regular parenting isn't. Mm-hmm. Like, no parenting is very rewarding at times. It's just, it's a selfless thing that you do, hoping you're going to, you know, make an impact and shape the lives of the kids that you're raising.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point, because, you know, with your kids, you do see a lot of immediate returns sometimes, you know, like you have a great day and your kids say, I love you, or, you know, that just the sweet little things that they'll say kind of offhand, where like, yeah, I am doing a good job. This, you know, I can see they're thriving and growing as people, and, you know, it's all worth it, all of the hours and all of, you know, the anxiety and everything. And I think when you are, you know, a bonus mom, you don't naturally see that as much, you know, like it could be a result of several things, and so you just don't get that feedback. It's really like a shared responsibility, so, you know, the return is shared as well, and to keep doing that well and to keep doing that lovingly without having that return is, you know, an exceptional position to be in. And I think, you know, you do it well, you do it really well.
Thank you. I think actually that's really a good point I hadn't thought of. Like, when, you know, you're dealing with your children that you're with 100% of the time. And you're right. Like, last night, Chase told me the best part of his day was doing the dance party with me. And I'm like, oh, like, you know, and, you know, he's four. It's probably because that's the last thing he remembers, because it just happened. But anyway, I took it. I'm like loving it up. Right?
Absolutely.
But, you know, you get those little things all the time because I'm with you all the time. Whereas one of my stepdaughters, like, I would get the annual, like, once a year, really super sappy, sweet text on Mother's Day. And, of course, like, be bawling my eyes out, because the rest of the year she would never, like, acknowledge that I made a difference in her life. But on Mother's Day, she would write me this text or post it on social media, which was even like, oh, my gosh.
Right.
And you're like, oh, like, I didn't even know you felt that way. But it was, you know, made such a huge impact on me.
Yeah.
Because you don't have them all the time. So that, you're right. It's like you get a third of the reward.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point.
So, and then I thought another part in this article that I was reading that we can post about, you know, the role of forgiveness as a step parent, you know, where you have to forgive so much because there are so many factors going on. And even when somebody's apologizing, you know, for maybe acting a way that they shouldn't, that doesn't always get directed immediately to you. You know, it's like sort of a trickle down, like, apology or trickle down forgiveness. And that's hard too, because when we get mad at our kids, I get mad at my kids and I will say, you know, that wasn't nice what you just said, like, you need to say I'm sorry. And I can, like, sort of demand that from them, and I get the immediate return of like, oh, my bad, I, you know, I didn't mean it that way. But when you are a step parent, that you don't necessarily get that immediate apology, and how hard that is to just continue to live in like a forgiving, graceful way without it getting returned to you all the time.
Yeah, and the book that I'm reading, The Stepmom's Club, I think that what I'm getting from the book as a whole is to really, like, just kind of step back emotionally and still be there for all of the things and still give your love and give all of your attention, but not expect anything in return, which, as you know as well as I do, is hard. Like, it's really hard to kind of keep putting it out there and keep doing what you know is the right thing to do when there's zero. And I think that's true in any relationship, not just the parent-child relationship. But yeah, being able to forgive them, being able to look past it and kind of just keep motoring on through, it's tough.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I think that's a good point about any relationship. You know, in your marriage, there's a lot of work. There's a lot of work that goes into it. There's not, you know, results you see over time. You know, you do see it over time. It's not immediate. And, you know, sometimes you're having the same discussion. You're having the same argument. You're talking about the same issues. And, you know, it's like, is there a solution? Are we just venting? You know, what is actually happening here? So not seeing that, you know, in your marriage can also be frustrating, because, you know, you have so many kids involved and they all have whatever's going on with them and, you know, the people involved in their life. So I think it's really difficult.
And I think one of the things, the points that you had made, is that there's no roadmap. And it's like, you know, when you first start out in parenting, there's no parenting handbook. You kind of like, you just wing it and you do the best you can. And we read these books and we talk and we do podcasts because we're trying the best we can to figure out the best way.
Yeah.
To
Yeah. And that's why I wanted to end on that point too, because I feel like, you know, that's always a sense that I get, and probably from both of us, I use like a little more humor. I'm just like, oh, I hope I'm not just totally emotionally damaging my kids. And you're always like, oh, I hope like I'm doing the right thing. And I hope they, you know, really want me to be around or, you know, appreciate what I'm doing. And I think we both are kind of like, are we good? Are we not good? So I think that idea of not having a roadmap, you know, none of us do. And it's especially more twisty and turny when you are involving a blended family.
Yeah. I was looking at stuff online yesterday and I found an article, and it was to my 17-year-old daughter. And so our 17-year-old daughter is my stepdaughter. Mm-hmm. And I was reading through this article, and of course it's like making me cry, and it's all about how, you know, you're moving on to the next chapter of your life and yeah. And one of the paragraphs in it was about how, you know, I really tried to be a good role model to you. I hope that, you know, I love you, and I hope you don't need too much therapy because of things I've imposed. It like made me cry and made me laugh at the same time, because that's so true. Like, you really just hope you're doing the best you can and that you're not damaging them. But it's like one of those things that you fear all the time as a mom.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that is universal. If it's, you know, our biological kid, if it's our stepkid, you know, any variation, that, you know, we're just trying the best we can. And I think the fact that we, you know, are asking these questions of ourselves, we're getting support, we're asking other people what they think and what their experience is, and we're sharing our experience to help other people. You know, that automatically means you're a good mom, because you wouldn't be doing any of that if you were just like, yeah, I'm good, I'm just going to keep going with what I'm doing.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. What, as we're wrapping up, what would you say is a good tidbit or recommendation to someone that's, you know, getting divorced or already is divorced and is now ready to start the blending journey, and they're, you know, meeting new people, or they're going to start dating? And what would you say is a good thing in relation to how you blend as a couple? What could they, you know, talk about or do ahead of time to prepare for this journey?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, you know, just communication. I think asking the questions that are important to you, you know, whatever it may be, if it's parenting style, if it's, you know, financially, you know, how are we managing things? If it's, you know, if you have little kids, it's about like discipline. If it's older kids, it's, you know, about consequences. I think just trying to really understand what, you know, where the other person's coming from. And if that is something that is agreeable with you, I think it's just, you know, you have to ask those questions, because if you think you're going to figure it out, you know, once you're in the house and once, you know, the baby comes, and that's when you're going to figure it out. That's, you know, when all the shit hits the fan. So, you know, it's just straight chaos from there. So I think it's really good to try to get all of that information as much as possible ahead of time.
I couldn't agree more. And one of the things I think that most of us don't do, probably just because of a lack of time, is to actually have those conversations. Like, you go on first dates or second dates or newly dating, and you talk about superficial stuff. Maybe you talk about a little bit of in-depth, but it's hard to like sit there and say, well, how would you handle this situation 5 years from now when we have three kids? Yeah. Like, they're all hypotheticals, but if we all spent more time doing those hypotheticals, or at least hashing out those situations, I think when we actually encounter them, we would at least have a better understanding of our spouse and how, what they think or how they feel.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, just looking back, I would just like say to myself then, you know, there isn't a rush. Like, there's just, you know, it's better to take your time and really figure out like what you want and need and what the other person has and, you know, how that all is going to work out. It's just really hard to go from one family situation into another and have a smooth transition and have it, you know, work out seamlessly. So I think, you know, the slower you can take it is probably best.
Yep, I think that's good advice.
So, well, that was a lovely conversation, and we hope that we shared something helpful for everybody tonight. If something resonated with what you're going through, please let us know and share our podcast with your friends. Our goal is to help us all step up in our parenting skills and to blend gracefully. See you all next week on the Girlfriend's Guide to Blending Families. Cheers.
Cheers.